And now we go to Joe Bradhurst, who has an interview live at the new residence. Joe.
Residence, yes. I am pleased to be joined this morning by Sharon Markey-Shaner.
Yeah.
Did I get it right?
Markey-Shaner.
Okay,
yeah.
Great. And you are from the Sexual Assault Center of the student McGill Student Society.
Yes.
Is that correct?
Yeah.
I'd like to start off the interview. If you could just tell us a little bit about the center, when it was founded, some of the services that they provide.
Sure. First, I'd like to say thank you for having me.
Hi, you're welcome. It's nice to have you.
The center was founded in 1991. It's the first student-run sexual assault center in North America. We have three branches, the outreach branch, the crisis intervention, as well as support groups, and we're in the process of revitalizing our accompaniment branch.
Okay.
Last year, we conducted over 40 outreaches in high schools that reached approximately 1,000 individuals. We have co-facilitated 86 residence project workshops, which has reached over 1,500 first-year students. And we have ran our crisis line for over 250 hours, and that has reached out to about 243 support contacts over the year. So I think for a student-run organization, we're efficient and doing great work for the community.
How many volunteers do you have?
We have approximately around 60.
Approximately 60.
Yeah. Yeah.
Can you tell me a little bit about the RES project? I think that's a very interesting project.
Yeah.
I just think it's really interesting. Can you tell me a little bit about it?
The RES project's relatively new. I believe it was its second year running. The main purpose of the project is to educate first-year students around the myths surrounding sexual assault and expose them to the resources that are available to them on campus and just educate them. So it's really fantastic because it's being proactive in regards to sexual assault and sexual harassment. So we're quite proud of it.
Has the university been pretty open about letting you go into the residence halls and doing that?
As far as I know, we haven't had any complaints or worries. There are always difficulties and obstacles that arise, but nothing concerning.
Okay.
Yeah.
Like all of the student-run organizations, you're going to be having a referendum coming up. Is it a referendum?
Every 2 years, SACOMS has to have a referendum in order to ensure that the student body still wants to continue financing it. We had a referendum last February.
Okay.
So depending on our move situation, we may or may not be having a referendum this upcoming February, but it's usually on a 2-year basis.
Okay. So let's talk about the move, because,
okay.
I thank you because you brought a lot of information on that for us.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you were created in 1991, is that correct?
Yeah.
Okay. I read on the internet that you have moved 4 times in the last 5 years, is that correct?
That is correct, yeah.
That is an amazing statistic.
Mm-hmm.
Can you give us a little background on some of that? Why are you being forced to move around?
A lot of it has to do with the negotiations surrounding the Brown Building and what SMU was given space for or not given space for. In 2001, the Dean of Students wanted to move the ombudsperson for students into the space that we were given in Brown, which is rooms 5200 and 5201. We were asked to move, and we agreed. We moved temporarily to 505 Pine, where we found a more permanent space in 3465 Peel in the Faculty of Arts. In 2003, we were asked to move from the Faculty of Arts to Peterson Hall. And then on April 8th, 2005, we were given a month's notice to leave Peterson Hall with an undisclosed location. We weren't given another location to move into. And so we found ourselves at the last minute being given space in the basement of Shatner.
That is quite amazing.
Yeah.
When you're asked to move like that all the time, for an organization and for the services that you're providing, the stability of having a permanent space, don't you feel that would add so much to what you're doing? And it just seems like you should have a permanent space.
Absolutely. the statistics that I discussed earlier show that we're still an efficient organization and that we are still committed to our cause and providing the resources to ensure that we are pro-survivor and that we are reaching out to the community. With that said, if we did have a permanent space, we'd be able to channel more of our energy, more of our resources, more of our time into improving what is an already worthy organization. In some ways, it really does set us back.
It sets you back, and also the people that are seeking help, because, I mean, I think for somebody who is seeking help, it's having a stable environment, knowing where to go. I mean, it seems very logical that you would need a permanent space.
Absolutely, and I do have to say that it is one of, I have to commend Smoo and Max Reed for establishing the work group. It's a forum where SACOMS meets with senior McGill administration as well as SMU representatives, and the purpose of the work group is to find a permanent solution, whether or not we still have yet to see what unfolds due to that, but at least we're finally, the three of us are sitting down to discuss it. But absolutely, SACOMS needs a permanent space. Sexual assault center on campus is not a privilege, it's a necessity.
It's a necessity, right?
Yeah.
Because actually, I mean, a university is like a small village, and we know that these kinds of things exist. People are going to be sexually assaulted at some point in a large community. So do you feel that the university is giving you, or listening to you now, starting to listen, or?
It's difficult.
It's difficult.
Yeah, they do want to keep us at an arm's length.
And why do you think that is?
I'm not really quite sure, actually. I think it has a lot to do with space issues. They have housed us for the past 10 years, and all of a sudden they can't seem to find space for us or provide space for us, even for a minimal level. And I'm not exactly quite sure why that is. And why they fail to recognize us.
Perhaps they don't want to hear bad news. Maybe they don't feel like sexual assault exists.
Could be, but for the past 10 years, they have provided us at least with temporary space.
Okay, is there any kind of factor that came to being and all of a sudden you started moving? I mean, is there any kind of administration that came into power that and then all of a sudden you found yourself moving around or anything like that? Or
once again, I don't think it was like one specific factor.
Okay.
I think it was a multitude of factors that I'm not really quite sure which one came into play more than the other. I think space has become an issue in the past few years. I think that, I guess there is a way of thinking in regards to senior McGill administration that just doesn't want to give SACOMS the recognition it needs in order to have a permanent space on the McGill campus and in the McGill buildings.
Mm-hmm.
With that said, we do recognize that they are participating on the work group, whether that is reluctantly, they are at least there, and we do have a forum to speak to them directly.
Okay. I was wondering if you could possibly give our listeners some idea of some statistics possibly of your services, how many people are seeking out your services. Perhaps if you've noticed an increase in the use of drugs used in sexual assaults on campus or not, have you?
Those types of statistics the center keeps confidential.
Okay.
Yeah, I have general statistics.
Why don't you tell us some general statistics?
Okay. I took this information from the Canadian Panel on Violence Against Women. In 1992, about 51% reported at least one experience of rape or attempted rape. Two out of the three women surveyed had experienced what is legally defined as sexual assault. In 2004, the Family Violence in Canada report from Statistics Canada stated that children and youth account for a disproportionately high percentage of sexual assault survivors. They make up 23% of the Canadian population and account for 61% of the reported sexual assaults in Canada.
So those are some pretty high numbers.
Those are some very high and scary numbers.
High and scary numbers. So your services are certainly needed on campus, and we appreciate what you're doing.
Thank you.
I was wondering if you could give our listeners your contact information, where you're now located.
Okay.
Perhaps some phone numbers and maybe a website that they could go to, if you have that.
We're located in the basement of Shatner. The phone number, the crisis line that we can be contacted through is 398-8500. And
are there certain hours for that? Or
I believe we are currently running from 11:30 till midnight.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
Okay, and you have a website?
Yes. www.sackholmes.com. I think it's at McGill.ca.
.McGill.ca.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, great. Well, I certainly want to thank you for coming in, and I hope that if any of our listeners need these services, that they will contact you, and I hope that you find a building.
I hope that
you find a space, because it's really important for a service such as yours to have a stable place and where they can work out of.
Thank you for your support.
Okay. Yeah.